ping pong.
You know what blows my mind about that song and that video? Hmm. Is it has 2.5 billion views on YouTube.
That's like, incredible.
Come on. You're telling me that I couldn't have thought of something like that and like made a corny video like this with like little kids like, you know, waving fins and making shark things? And
why didn't you?
That's an excellent question.
It's like when you go to any art museum and you're like, I could do that, and then you don't. And it's like, well, that's why they get paid.
No, it's because they have some dumb interpretation of it, and they're like, this is my soul being expanded into 37 different dimensions. And you're like, oh my God, that's so beautiful. But you're like, it's literally just splatters of paint. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't tell me just because you had a reason to splatter them where you splattered them that it has more purpose than me getting up and taking a shower in the morning.
I mean, that's fair.
I mean, it's just an art.
I don't really.
I mean, I'm not an art guy.
Neither am I.
And like, it's very apparent in the way I'm talking right now, but it's fine because I feel like if we had an audience for this show, it would be people that would be like, yeah, like art's dumb. And
that's I wouldn't say it's dumb. I just think some forms of it don't make sense. Because like, I think like falling water, you could consider that art now because nobody actually lives there. And I think architecture is really cool, but I think, you know, if you're painting a square, that's what it is. You're painting a square.
You're not making
a square that's actually SpongeBob or something like that. Like, it's
see, yeah. Like, I appreciate, like, let's say, like again, I'm like a video guy, so like I appreciate like when you do a really good job like shooting something and there's like clearly a purpose to how you did it.
Mm-hmm.
But like when someone's like, I'm going to film this wall and like each hour I'm going to put one splotch of paint on the wall. Like, I'm going to be like, okay.
You know what painting I think is actually pretty cool?
What's that?
It's the dart painting where you put paint in balloons and you throw darts at the balloons. And they pop and it splatters.
Yeah, I'd be into that.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Big.
How was Tampa?
Oh, yeah.
We've had a lot happen.
Should I intro the show, though? This is Will Sam in the morning.
Yeah, by the way.
Yeah, what are we even doing here?
I know. Well, I got off track on Baby Shark. Yeah. Tampa was good. I'm still very sunburnt.
Yeah, I'm peeling.
Yeah. Will's looking better than I am, though.
Pittsburgh was nice.
Was it?
Was it cold?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks. I had a dream last night that it snowed. It was a nightmare.
Sam, you know how it was like 55 and windy and, you know, relatively cold the first day? It's 80 degrees down there right now.
I'm not bitter.
You guys can't complain about 55 and windy in Tampa because, one, you're in Tampa, and two, it's,
I mean, you're right, but at the same time, I came down there for 80 degree temps.
Yeah.
Because, like, it was at a temperature where, like, you could wear shorts, but shorts weren't necessarily like comfortable.
I definitely should have brought a sweatshirt to the spring training game, and we wouldn't. I don't think either of us did.
No,
I came here for an NEC football championship, but did I get one? No. So,
dude, I don't know why you expected
that
one.
Line
I'm gonna
in
be
group chat. I just want to point that out. He's recycling my line.
When?
I said it about earlier when, like, it was like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Taking my content.
I know you guys work for the football team, so you don't have to respond, but if you came in expecting that, then Wow, you're dumb.
Well, I expected at least something in the 4 years.
Why? What because gave you that indication?
Because it's the NEC.
My
okay, that's a fair argument. But beyond that, because they struggled mightily even in the NEC. Again, their last winning season was 2010. And before that, it was 2001.
My expectation was more than 10 wins in 4 years.
Mine wasn't.
I didn't really have any expectations. I was like,
you know,
hey,
what? But you said your expectation was an NEC championship.
You know, I was like, you know, hey, that school has hockey. That's cool.
You know, I did.
That's
expect?
What I said.
I did expect the Army women's basketball team to win on Wednesday, and they for sure did.
Wow, look at that transition.
You mean Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday.
Or Monday?
Monday.
Monday.
There was yesterday. No game on Wednesday.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they when they
just let I let my transition
wow.
flow.
It
was almost really good.
It was almost really good.
I'll give all right, that.
So that yeah, big win. I mean I wouldn't say big win because FDU had, you know, 8 wins all year. Robert Morris, first seed in the NEC tournament, hosting against the 8th seeded Fairleigh Dickinson Knights. Robert Morris 16-2 in conference alone. Fairleigh Dickinson not that good in conference alone. Very poor. They literally barely made it into the playoffs.
Yes.
But, man, first quarter, really tight. First half, it was 28-20 Robert Morris at halftime, and you're sitting here going, wow, FDU hanging in there. Really great defense on their part. So the matchup was very favorable for Robert Morris because you have the 11th best scoring defense in the nation headed up against the worst offense in the Northeast Conference. So, like, really good matchup if you're Robert Morris. And so you're sitting there, and it's 28-20 at halftime, and you're sitting there going, holy crap, you know, like this would be a huge upset if this were to happen, because not only is it a favorable matchup, but this is a Robert Morris team that's just it's so deep. They did a great job shutting down Nneka Azeba. She had 4 points and 1 rebound, 1 block and 1 assist in the first half. The second half did not have the same story at all. And Robert Morris ended up winning 64-38. So impressive win, really, really good win. Great second half. And thanks to some fortune that Mount St. Mary's pulled off the upset over St. Francis Brooklyn.
You took my transition.
He's been thinking about this
go
all
ahead.
Week.
That's really funny. They don't have to play St. Francis PA. Now they have to play Mount, which is exciting. Why, Sam Ferentz? Did you see what Jessica Kovach did last night?
No.
She had 38 points, including 22 in the first half. She shot 7 for 10 from three-point range, 13 of 19 overall. I'll use the word that the kids are using that I hate in terms of basketball. She was absolutely wet.
I hate that.
I know.
That makes me so uncomfortable.
She was soaked. I know. Isn't that weird? Yeah, I don't like it either. No.
Hey,
but
Josh Williams was wet when they were playing.
No, we're not going to use
she
that.
She was on
word.
Fire.
There we
she
go.
She was incredible. Yeah. It was Jessica Kovach with a vengeance on fire because they're a 4 seed.
She was
so
thinking about how she put up 6 against us.
Yeah. But so the interesting thing becomes the remaining teams in this Northeast Conference tournament. Think about this, gentlemen. You have Robert Morris playing Mount St. Mary's, which, you know, seems like a pretty good matchup. But Mount St. Mary's handed Robert Morris their first conference loss. And you're playing potentially either Sacred Heart or St. Francis. Sacred Heart, who Robert Morris blew out at home, but who Sacred Heart went hosted and handled the Colonials easily at the end of the season. Or St. Francis PA, which is the team that defeated the Colonials in the championship game last year, hasn't beaten Robert Morris this season, but really hard to beat a team 3 times, especially a team with a Jessica Kovach type player. So actually, really going into this, there's no matchup left for Robert Morris where I'm like, that's a definite win.
I mean,
I'd rather
they still beat all 3 of those teams at home, which is where they will play them.
But
I'd rather
it's the postseason.
I'd rather have St. Francis.
I think that's a bigger deal in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah,
because it's the Northeast Conference.
But still,
I wouldn't even look past.
So you're telling me that all of those matches are guarantees. I'm not saying that Robert Morris isn't favored to win.
I just think they're a lot more than close matchups.
I disagree.
I mean,
you're saying that a team.
They have an off game against Mount St. Mary's. It doesn't mean that's the standard.
So you're saying all of that was an off game. You're not saying that Mount St. Mary's provided anything to that equation that could have given them the win.
No, they're the seven seed?
They're the
six seed.
Hey, hold on, hold on. Okay. I think you guys are looking way too far ahead. I think you guys need to start.
We're talking about the matchup on Thursday.
You were looking more like towards Sacred Heart, St. Francis. Yeah. What it sounded like. But I'm saying look more towards. We have to get past Mount St. Mary's.
That's
first.
What I'm this saying. Is, and Will's saying it's a gimme.
I'm not saying it's a gimme.
Yes, you
think
are.
It's a lot more than just a.
Well, yeah.
A,
is that the most
game.
Favorable matchup right now? Yes. Is that what you wanted in the matchup? Yes. But I'm saying that you can't go in saying no matter what's going to happen, Robin Morris is going to win.
I don't think. I'm not saying that.
Then we're agreeing.
No, you're saying it's going to be
no, I'm not.
So much closer than
it
should
be. No, I'm not.
Let me throw a nugget out there. Okay, Mount St. Mary's, number six seed. This is the third year in a row that the sixth seed has gone to the number three seed and upset the number three seed.
Yeah.
I don't remember what happened to the last two, but
they lost.
But I still wouldn't count out Mount St. Mary's.
Well, and you know why I won't count out Mount St. Mary's? Because they went half the season with their best player not playing or not playing a full game because she was hurt. So either of you know who that best player is?
No.
Junior Robinson.
Exactly. No. Okay. Probably the same height as some of the players on that team. Juliet Lawless. She was a player of the
first half, I'm assuming.
Oh.
She was a player of the year candidate, yeah. She missed like the middle of the season. So she was in the running for player of the year. She got hurt, missed a game, and then ended up getting limited in minutes for almost the rest of the season.
So they're keeping her fresh. Number six is coming
or
off
do you think
a big win.
Do you think they'll limit her?
No.
No?
Not
anymore. What is that what happened in on Monday or whenever they played? They played out yesterday?
No, she's back now.
Oh, okay.
This was like the middle towards end of the season.
Oh, okay.
She is back now. But Mount St. Mary's beat Robert Morris with a less than 100% Juliet Lawless. So you're coming in, you're bringing back a player of the year candidate. You're also bringing in Michaela Harrison, who at the beginning of the year was a rookie who was trying to find her place in things. She ended up becoming a rookie of the year candidate, was the only other player besides the winner of the NEC Rookie of the Year that averaged double-digit scoring.
Who was the average or winner?
I can't remember her name, but she was from LIU Brooklyn.
From this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's really the thing with the matchups is when you looked at FDU, there was no good players. There was no notable players.
No.
There was not an all-NEC player on that team.
No.
Mount St. Mary's brings a couple players with really good talent. Do I think Robert Morris wins those games because they have more depth? Yes.
I do think
but
Mount St. Mary's.
But I think that in terms of what they can bring to the table, I think it's a challenging matchup.
I'd rather have St. Francis play St. Francis and play Sacred Heart because I'm still scared to play Sacred Heart.
Why?
I don't know, because the thing with me is, you're right, if you're looking at just the regular season alone, I'm with Sam Ferentz because I would rather play St. Francis because, especially in that last game, Robert Morris looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared of postseason Jessica Kovach.
True.
She's a senior this year, too,
so it's
right?
all pulling out all the stops.
It's everything.
So I think, you know, coming in as a four seed, I think there's that chip on your shoulder.
Especially, you know, defending champions going to the tournament.
And seeing the way that, you know, Robert Morris handled Sacred Heart the first time. But then also seeing the way Sacred Heart finished the year, because they finished the year really, really, really strong. Because they also beat St. Francis to end the year.
And they handled
St. Francis down the year.
I think Sacred Heart's lineup is more comparable to Robert Morris's.
Yes.
And I think that's what scares me the most, because that's going to be the toughest matchup. Because, you know, with St. Francis, you have Jessica Kovach, and then you have that one.
Haley Thomas,
yeah.
And you, Zaza.
Oh, my God, on the inside, yeah.
But
unbelievable.
I mean, like, St. Francis's defense isn't, you know, as stellar as Sacred Heart. You know, you could get around, you can work your way, you can almost game plan for St. Francis, you know, put whoever on Jessica Kovach, you know, work that route. But Sacred Heart, they're a whole different ball game. You know, I don't know. I would favor, given what you said, I'd still favor St. Francis over to play over Sacred Heart.
I mean, the interesting thing is that if you look at that first game, you know, it was an interesting matchup because it was Catherine Haynes versus Nneka Aziba, who are arguably the two best bigs in the Northeast Conference. And it really looked like Aziba handled Haynes. But what it looks like is that they went back and they looked at that tape and they figured it out. And the question to me is, now that each team's got a win, if that is the championship game, to me, it's almost like a coaching thing. Who's the better coach? Yep. Who's going to go in and figure it out? I think that'll be a good matchup. I think that will be – I think whoever plays in the championship game, as long as Mount St. Mary's doesn't get past Robert Morris, I think it's going to be a really, really good matchup. And like you said, we're thinking really far ahead, and there's a lot of different variables and equations that you can go into. But, I mean, you know, again, I think Mount St. Mary's can provide some unique challenges. I think it will be a tighter game than the Fairleigh Dickinson game because they have players who can score points.
That's very true. I don't think we're going to see a 38-point game.
No.
We might see a 28-point game, but...
I just think, like, it's so hard in the Northeast Conference because, again... Yeah.
When there's not a lot of parity, there's still a lot of parity.
And, you know, it's easy to go in and be like, this is what's going to happen, and then all of a sudden, you know, because, again, like, if you had asked me to... I mean, I've liked St. Francis Brooklyn all year. I thought they were a really good team. When Luke Yost ran his preview and said that St. Francis Brooklyn were pretenders, I told him that he was false. Clearly, they came out, ended up being pretenders since they got knocked out in the first round of the tournament. That's pretty pretender, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But didn't see that happening because it just looked like the conference was so top heavy. It looked like it was those top four teams and nobody else. I mean, that's my long spiel. I still think, I still think Robert Morris wins. I don't want it to come off like I think Mount St. Mary's is going to win. Because again, even at the press conference last night, FDU's head coach was like, one of the questions was, how do you compete with players, you know, a team like Robert Morris? And he's like, you don't. He's like, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster. He's like, there's only so much you can coach against that. He's like, because Madison Comley was next to him. And he's like, she's our big, and she's 5'8", and she's going up against girls that are 6 feet tall. Mm-hmm. That's not fair. In the Northeast Conference, Robert Morris has size. The only teams I think they don't really match up well in terms of size, I think Sacred Heart, and I still think they have more overall size, because the thing is when NECA's having a bad game, they just put in Ozymandiamidu. Mm-hmm. And... I mean, it's insane. The biggest thing to me is how the heck do they keep recruiting players like that? It's unbelievable.
Because they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's what I think it is. And I think it's Coach B being Coach B and
trust the process.
Being a very good
recruiter.
Yeah, recruiter.
Which is convincer. The name of the game in this conference.
It really is, because you're not going to get, you know, you're not going to get a lot of players that, you know, could go to bigger schools locally.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Like, they're going to be convinced to go to, you know, a ranked, you know, in a bigger conference, more well-known. But Coach B has a way to find those players that are interested in coming here and buy in. Because, I mean, I think that's one of the bigger things, and I think that might be, like, something that has plagued our men's team. Maybe not so much this year, because I did see a change this year. But it seemed like, in years past, players didn't buy in. And I think it was because they didn't like Coach Toole. But I feel like with the women's team, they're bought in to their process and, you know, their method of doing things. And that's why they've been so successful and will continue to be successful.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that, I mean, you got player. I mean, it's just crazy because it seems like every year there's players that don't play, like a Julia Chadwick. And you're like, wow. Like, she's just going to hop right in there one day and be really good because she's really tall. Mm-hmm. And she has a great, you know, resume that came with her coming into this. I mean, for the men's team, their saving grace is they're potentially going to bring back Malik Petaway.
Really?
Yes. Which is pretty exciting.
How?
Because he missed most of last year because of that issue.
So he's applying for a medical redshirt.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
And, I mean, I think that with the men's team, the difference this year, and I don't know if it was so much buying into Coach Toole, but I think a lot of the team bought into Maddie McConnell. And I think.
Yeah, that really bummed me out, man.
What happens next year? I mean, Maddie McConnell's out, and we're talking about, you know, the lifeblood of this team, and. Where do we go from here? Because the whole season they've just
throwing
been
out big questions here, man.
Oof. Well, true. I mean, seriously, they've been missing this one piece the whole season. I listened to the game against St. Francis Brooklyn on the way home from Altoona, and good Lord. I mean, they should have had that game from the start. But they St. Francis, Brooklyn played hard. They stuck in it. And then, went to overtime. And it was a thrilling overtime to listen to. Then I didn't get to watch or listen to the Fairleigh Dickinson game. But come on. I mean, we've had too many close games like that. What's happened?
Well, so RMU, about, what was it, like halfway through the second half, was up by 10 points, I believe.
And then not in the Fairleigh Dickinson, or not.
Yeah,
in the,
no, it was the Fairleigh Dickinson game. Yeah, they didn't, not in the, except for like the first few minutes, they didn't lead until overtime against
St. Francis, Brooklyn.
But you see, like, they had a 10-point lead. They had it. And I think they kind of relaxed too much,
mm-hmm.
and Fairleigh Dickinson just kept going. And by the time they turned it back on again, it was too late to do anything.
Because now what you have is you have St. Francis against Fairleigh Dickinson. I mean, I completely like St. Francis going into it. I think it would have been a lot more fun. You know, ESPN2 game tonight would have been St. Francis, Robert Morris, Battle of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that would have been a lot more fun. It would
have been an amazing game to watch.
So I don't know if you guys saw, though, the Andy Tool show last night. Robert Morris retweeted it. Andy Tool, I heard this from multiple people too, within the team, that they are going to get a bid to the CIT tournament.
Really?
Yes. So their season is not over. Wait, like is the belief I know. The College Insider.com tournament. NIT.
Not the NIT.
So it goes the NCAA, the NIT, and then the CIT.
So why would that be?
Huh?
Like, why would they?
Because they take one team from the NEC every year.
Oh, they do?
So the argument would be, they believe that because, again, a team like Sacred Heart got knocked out in the first round, and because Robert Morris had beat them earlier in the year, that they want to grab Robert Morris over a Sacred Heart.
And I believe they're more exciting than Sacred Heart.
So
how many teams play in that tournament?
Let me see.
Okay.
I think 32? Because I think it's the same setup as the NIT.
And then
yeah,
what
I believe you're right.
What kind of teams play in the CIT?
Oh, like the teams that finish third and don't.
So let me give you an example here.
My bet is it's a lot more mid-major schools.
Yeah, so like there was they do like bracket predictions, and like at one point in the year it was predicted that it was like University of Illinois Chicago played St. Francis last year. Like, these are teams that Robert Morris realistically could probably go and compete against, which is pretty exciting if you ask me. But I'm trying to find if there's any sort of examples of, like, predictions. But there's really not, because, I'd be amazed if anyone sat around and they were like, I'm going to predict the CIT bracket. So.
Well, when would they get announced? It would be soon, because their first round starts the 18th.
Yep. So you'll hear something soon.
There's 20 teams in the CIT.
That makes sense, because there's.
Hey, see, that could maybe be a fun way to, end it all, is Robert Morris somehow, gets a first round win in the CIT and maybe makes a little run.
Where do you think they would be?
They would go somewhere local.
You're playing teams like Ryder, Pacific, Mercer.
Okay.
Oh, man, I hope they play Ryder. Also, you can watch it all on CBS Sports Digital on watchcit.com.
Oh, boy.
In case you guys care. We'll be having watch parties. Don't worry. Let's see. Selection committee. There's 12 current Division I athletic directors on the chair.
Dr. Howard one of them?
No,
he's the football player.
But the AD of Hampton, where Howard used to be the president, is on that chair.
Interesting.
So Howard's making some phone calls. He's like,
oh,
hey.
Definitely.
The most connected man at Robert Morris University. So, yeah, I don't know when the heck they announce.
Regional committee, Antonio Gates, Los Angeles Chargers.
No way. That's awesome.
Wow.
How did he make it on a basketball thing?
I don't know.
Said the same way Vincent Jackson made on to one.
So
maybe he played in college.
All right. So for kind of a comparison, so last year, actually, this tournament was a week earlier last year. It started on March 12th. So
I think everything was a week earlier.
You're right. So St. Francis played the University of Illinois Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
They lost 84-61.
Okay.
But you got teams like Eastern Michigan, Niagara, University of Texas San Antonio, Lamar. Central Michigan, Wofford, San Diego, that Portland State, Northern Colorado, Drake. Like, these are teams that are good, but they're not overwhelming.
Upset City.
Yeah. And there's a first round, quarterfinal, semi-championship. So you'd have to win four games to win a championship.
No, five. First, second, quarter, semifinal.
There's no second.
Yeah, it's
first and second round. Gotcha.
Yeah, so you have five games to win.
Interesting.
But yeah, that could I'm assuming there's not like a live selection show. Actually,
no.
There probably is on like CBS Sports or something, because what else would they
put on? It's probably like four guys standing in a room being like, these are the teams we selected.
Yeah, well, it's just basically the same thing that they do for the NCAA and the NIT.
All right, I'm on watchcit.com.
Oh boy.
Because, you know, this is where I'll go get a job. I'll go get a job with collegeinsider.com. I could definitely do that.
With your unlimited knowledge of Robert Morris Athletics.
Yeah. I said when I graduate, I'm going to go write for the NEC Overtime blog.
Gosh. Until RMU leaves.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because I've been a pretty big proponent of it throughout kind of our time here, where I just don't want them to be here anymore. But I like, now looking at everybody, get out. Get out now.
On a side note, I don't think RMU sports as a whole is going to leave the NEC.
We have a caller in here? I don't know what that. I'm going to pick up the phone. I don't know how to pick it up through here, but we're going to see what happens.
I don't think.
Hello?
They hung up.
Oh, man. Duquesne Light called.
Oh, boy.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to pick it up, see what happens. And they were like, this is Duquesne Light. And I'm just like, oh, this is a robot. I don't care. Hang it up. So it's our first caller, guys.
Yeah.
Duquesne Light.
Nice.
Thanks, Duquesne Light. Do we get a sponsorship now?
What were we talking about? Oh, RMU leaving the NEC.
Yeah,
as a
whole.
So you're saying they wouldn't leave as a whole?
Yeah.
I mean, the NEC would let them not leave as a whole.
Well, yeah, I think as long as the basketballs and football.
And
not
think,
even that.
And
I think
there
if
are
the
schools,
basketballs
I think here's
enough.
The thing. With the arena, plus a team that plays well in basketball, which, again, it looks like they're turning that way. They're headed that direction.
Yes.
I think a conference is willing to take football. And then, you know, because I know you guys can't say anything, but I have a lot of faith in Bernard Clark as the head coach. I really believe that he's the answer. The culture is completely different. You put Bernard Clark in a bigger conference, he will get you better players, and that team will be better. I'm excited to see the first, you know, real Bernard Clark recruiting class. I don't think you're going to see a lot of impact immediately because, I mean, you realistically shouldn't. Like, that's not how it's designed to be built anyway. But I do think you're going to see an improvement. I think Robert Morris will win at least four games next year.
And we will be able to discuss this. When's the spring game? March
23rd. I'll be
okay.
There.
Ooh.
So the show after that, we'll be able to talk
Ooh.
About everything.
Oh!
We'll have like 3 weeks just talking RMU football.
Who's gonna take RMU sports as a whole? Like,
there's been a few places that we've talked about. Because, like, the biggest, I think we decided on the Pioneer League? Is that what it is? Or Patriot League? I think that was the closest. Because they have a lot of Pennsylvania area teams, which are pretty much on our level. We've hung in there against the teams that we've played with basketball in that conference.
Yeah, but it's
money-wise, it's a lot. It's very close.
It's not just, you know, we can't think about just basketball. It's
no,
men's.
But that's
well, but the basketball's
the
defining
factor.
Yeah, but
men's soccer.
They don't care.
That, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Don't care.
You could be terrible for the next 30
They just want
years.
You to have one. They just
yeah,
want you to have
if
one.
If you're bringing in money from one sport, they're happy.
Yeah, the biggest ones they're going to care about are basketball and football, and hockey's out of the equation.
Because they don't have
but
the same conference.
Hockey looks good in the equation for those conferences because it brings notoriety to them that they have these kind of diverse-looking schools.
I also think hockey should leave their respective conferences, but that's just
it's hard in hockey.
It is.
There's like five conferences.
Exactly. So
that's
where do you go?
And the
Big Ten?
And like, you end up going somewhere where you have to travel to, like, you know, North Dakota every year, somewhere like really
no,
far
that,
away.
Actually, that
well,
would
well,
probably be one
that's
of them.
That's the thing, because like a lot of people were talking about for a while a couple years back that, you know, Army should leave the NEC and go to the, like, the Summit League with, like, North Dakota State. And I was like, what? Why?
No, that doesn't make sense there. Like, location-wise, it's a lot.
Oh, location-wise, it's out the window. Yeah. They were talking more, like, competition level for all the sports. But, you know, you think of, like, the Patriot League, the Horizon League maybe. Yeah. You know, it could work. The MEAC is a stretch, but we could fit in the North Division.
There's one in Florida, and
we can't actually do the MEAC.
Why not?
It's a predominantly black school conference.
Oh yeah, I did remember that. Yeah, remember seeing that.
Because I looked up the same thing a couple years ago, and I was okay. Like, oh, this would be such a great match. And then I googled the MEAC, and they were like predominantly black schools, and I was like, oh, so.
But yeah, I mean. I think the Patriot League would be our best match.
100%. And you play schools like what? Like Lehigh?
Lehigh,
Bucknell.
Lafayette. I think Monmouth is in the Patriot League.
Former NEC.
Yeah.
Man, talk about who did well for themselves.
I don't know if Albany.
No, Albany's in the CAA.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hockey, would I love to see them leave? Yes, because do their conferences get absolutely no respect in the rest of the NCAA? Yes. But it's very difficult to find another conference when there's like seven total conferences, and women's, I think it's five to take you.
I mean, look at the CHA in general. I mean, look at the variety that's already in there. Exactly. Because it's kind of like there's nowhere else to go. I mean, you have Syracuse, Mercyhurst, Penn State, Lindenwood.
That's so random.
But that's because Lindenwood is nowhere else they could go that they could compete, you know?
And they can barely compete.
Will, what happened to our RMU women's hockey team?
Don't.
Same thing as last year. Bad second period.
Yeah.
And it sucks because they get there, and it's just like, I will say right now, and I will say it because I'm leaving, and nobody actually listened to this podcast.
And yeah,
I'm really upset that they put in Ariel DeSmit over Lauren Bailey.
So am I.
Because you know what? That was a really great move for the semi. Get her some postseason experience.
Right.
Putting a freshman in the championship game. Everything on the line when your senior who's been there.
They started her over Lauren Bailey.
Yes, they did.
And what a yeah. And what a disservice to Lauren Bailey. Who really, yeah. I mean, that, it was her time.
Yeah.
I think that's
she
not right.
She worked and struggled and sat behind multiple
record-setting goalies.
Yeah.
Did she play at all in the championship game?
No, I don't believe so.
What are you thinking?
Yeah, like, I understand, okay, you're looking towards the future and she is getting playoff experience, but at the same time,
get to the
like,
tournament now.
Yeah,
you're here.
You're there. How much longer are you guaranteed to have incredibly, you know, active players like J.C. Gebhard and, you know,
yes,
others that I'm not thinking of in my infinite rage currently?
Syracuse
but, like,
is not a guarantee. Syracuse is as much a guarantee as I'd venture out to say Mount St. Mary's in women's basketball because that's relevant right now. But
no, because Syracuse was the, what, number two team? Were they number two?
Something like that. You saw how they played coming here. And that was against Lauren Bailey. What the heck do you think is going to happen playing against your freshman goalkeeper?
Like, and DeSmet's not bad. She's not bad. We're not saying
she's not.
That she's a bad player because I don't believe she is. I think she'll be a very good goaltender in the years to come. However, you have a very good one right now.
Why would you not play Lauren Bailey?
You have 3 years to have DeSmet figure it out.
I'm really glad I just triggered you guys.
Or why would you, I mean, even matter of fact, why wouldn't you put Lauren Bailey in at the end of the game?
Anything.
I mean, you have a girl who's given her lifeblood to the RMU women's hockey team, played behind, you know, greats like you said, Jessica Dodds. I mean, like, I cannot fathom why he chose to not play Lauren Bailey. I mean, unless
from
Lauren
what
Bailey
I,
was hurt. Somehow,
I had heard that
knock.
She wasn't playing well in practice and in previous games, and that was the reasoning, but I don't know how much truth there is to that. I certainly didn't think she was playing poorly up to that point.
Senior night, Syracuse. She came out through a shutout down, right? That was
No, that was, DeSmet had the shutout, but she had, it was what, 5-2, I think, in Lauren Bailey's game. Sam Anthony?
What was the question?
5-2, Lauren Bailey, senior day. Was that the score?
5-1, I think.
5-1.
Yeah.
Even better.
Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense. And it's like that's frustrating for them to go out like that because there is no NIT or CIT for women's hockey.
Would they have gone to, you know, Wisconsin and gotten their butts handed?
Oh, yeah, because that's where Syracuse went.
Totally, yeah. Is that what happened? Did they already play?
They haven't played yet, but they drew Wisconsin. They played this weekend.
Yeah.
Would Robert Morse have maybe played a different team because of their notoriety coming back? Not this year.
If it was last year.
Would they have played a much better and more competitive game?
Yes.
Yes.
Would it have been 7-0 like it was last time? No. But it
could it have been like 5-1? Yes.
But still.
Okay, so if Army Women's Hockey made it to the national tournament last year and then they made it again this year, would that have changed at all?
Yes.
I believe so, yes.
Experience?
Mm-hmm.
Less
but
jitters.
But like seating-wise, would that?
No.
So they're always going to play. They're always going to play Wisconsin.
Unless they come out and like the arguably, I think the year they played Wisconsin, they actually played, they should not have. Because that was the best team they've ever had. They had like unbeaten streak of like 2 months. And they were nationally ranked the whole time, and I think they should have drawn the 2 seed and not the 1. And the 2 seed was Clarkson, who Robert Morris tied
and
that
ended
year,
up being national champion.
Yeah,
which so, I remember I don't know if our show was around at that point, but I remember talking.
We were
at
the watch party, weren't we?
Yeah, because I remember thinking it was ridiculous that they were playing Wisconsin, and we looked up the table, and there were arguably worse teams playing. Comparatively easier games.
And it sucks because that's what happens when you're in a lower conference in a school. Like
and that's
Robert
why
Morris,
I
want notoriety.
That was when my initial leave every conference we're in discussion started, because it's ridiculous that the only reason we didn't get a better game was because the CHA is garbage. And you know, but at the same time, like, having looked at it more, it is very unrealistic for hockey to leave just because it is difficult for them to go anywhere else. I think the next step would have to be Hockey East for both, I think. I think Hockey East has women's. They are a much more competitive and a lot higher seen conference, so it would be very difficult.
So men's hockey they're going to
Bentley.
Bentley. Are they going to come out and play in the championships?
Who knows? Honestly, at this point, who knows? I don't know. I can't, like, they split the series this year with Holy Cross, swept them this weekend. I have no idea what to – Sam, what do you think? Men's hockey this weekend?
No, I could totally see them making a run. And then it's just kind of like what the heck, man?
It doesn't make any sense. Like –
because
RMU men's hockey is comparatively no, because they have a lot of freshmen.
Okay,
that's been
They're 14-20-2 right now.
Yeah. However, the big thing is that in the recent games, the defense has started to figure it out and been playing well together. I honestly have no idea. I can't. Even following them, I don't know what to expect, because Bentley has been good this year, and it's usually the other way around, where we're really good and they're not. But so that was kind of a shock to me that they were really good this year. But I don't know. Women's basketball, I have a pretty good idea. Men's basketball, they're a little bit more of an enigma. Women's hockey, I thought I had an idea, but.
Bentley came to Robin Morris and outscored us 10-3 in two
games.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying. However, it's playoffs. And it's RMU men's hockey, where literally anything can happen on any given day in any given game.
What's the tournament looking like? What's their tournament called? The AHA.
A-H-A.
It was the AHC. And then before that it was the AHA, and then they decided to switch back to the AHA. Mm-hmm. Not really telling anyone and confusing the heck out of me.
Yes.
Don't like it.
Who,
but yeah.
Who else is playing in the semifinals right now?
Canisius is not. I know that. AIC.
It's Niagara and...
Let's see here.
I thought that we were either going to play Niagara or Canisius. But then somehow they drew Bentley.
Well, Canisius... Well, they... Canisius is... the worst team in the conference. Canisius' season is over.
Oh, they as of their predictions from this weekend, like they are on Sunday, they were looking at like the where would we go if, and I guess Canisius was in game 3. on the weekend.
Canisius was in game three.
So it was either going to be... so they must have been playing Bentley.
No, they were playing Niagara.
Bentley was not. Yeah, you. I don't know where their predictions came from because they were only going to play a team that got a bye. So I don't know.
RIT is maybe a harder.
I don't know who I was. Maybe I was looking at a person and not the actual.
So team. I think it goes by seeding. I think Robert Morris, and I think Robert Morris is probably the lowest remaining seed. Maybe. I don't know what seed Niagara is. I gotta look at the.
Because we were the eight. No, we were higher than the eight. We were, what, six?
No, we were the eight.
We were the eight? Oh.
I thought we were like four.
You don't get a bye if you're like the bottom four seeds.
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah. Okay.
So
I remember that.
Yeah.
We were just not used to it.
Okay. So the final eight right now are RIT, Sacred Heart, Army, AIC, Niagara, Air Force, and Robert Morris Bentley.
Yeah. So, ooh, interesting. Yeah, Bentley's real good. Bentley's the, what, two seed?
Yeah, I think, behind AIC.
Yeah, that'd be a major upset. Which is outrageous. Again, Robert Morris. How'd they do against Bentley this year? Do we know?
They got destroyed here.
Yikes.
Like Sam just said, in the weekend it was 10-3 between two games. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's still RMU men's hockey. And it's still Francis Marotte.
Interesting thing is that really Sacred Heart series starts tomorrow. Why? Yeah, they play Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Whereas everyone else plays Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I hate the schools that are bad that are now suddenly good, and because of that, everything is following their way of doing things, which is different from how good teams normally do it.
Yeah. Ah, here we go. I finally found where the seeding is. Yeah, it's the 1 versus the 10, which is AIC against Army West Point. It's the 2 versus the 8. Which is Bentley versus RMU. It's the 3 versus the 6, which is Air Force Niagara. It's the 4 versus the 5, which is... So it's the top 4 seeds get a bye. That's the only ones that get byes.
Okay.
But yeah, Sacred Heart, RIT.
How did we play...
No, I'm sorry. It has to be...
It must be the top 5.
Top 5, yeah, because RIT then. Yeah, because then it would be 6 versus 11, which is what it was. And then... Yeah. Seven, ten, and eight, nine.
Yep. Yeah, that's how it
there
is.
We go.
Yeah, we did things.
See, we're not used to this.
No, we're used to being in the bye group.
But here's the thing, man. Robert Morris wins the series, and all of a sudden they end up back in... Well, now it's Buffalo. I hate that. I miss
Rogers. Oh, and another... Oh, I guess Canisius isn't in it anymore, so it doesn't matter, but...
Yeah.
In another city.
Maybe they just knew. They were like, Canisius is going to be bad.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we seize this opportunity to get everybody to stop complaining about how RIT... has a disproportionate advantage when every single year it's in their arena or near their arena.
Yeah, why don't they just try and get it somewhere that's like neutral?
I don't know. I've been saying it for years that they shouldn't have it. Because
there's
Rochester.
Definitely somewhere like in the middle, like ballpark, you could put it.
Yes.
Like.
And if you look at it, each time RIT has won the conference, they've been like, I think one year there were 4 seed, one year there were 6 seed, and everybody else was like just. A lot better than them, but because it was in Rochester, they rode momentum.
All right, ready. You're gonna hear it here first. It's gonna be friggin' Robert Morris versus Air Force in the championship again. And
it
then
totally
Air Force
is.
Will win.
It that's exactly what's
in
gonna
three
happen.
Games
or Robert Morris versus RIT again. It's gonna be some sort of dumb rematch that Robert Morris will lose again
because they hate us,
and then we'll forever be bitter as we graduate.
Oh gosh, it's gonna yeah. If that is really what happens, I hope American International loses just because they belong on the bottom because that's where they've been and forever.
RMU women's basketball is going to win the tournament, go to UConn, get their butts handed to them, and then.
See, I really don't want them to play UConn or Notre Dame, not for the fact of any chance of winning.
Because he's already been there.
Because I've already been there. I want to go somewhere else.
Do you really think you're going to travel this year?
Yeah. I went to Rochester last
year. I like how it's about Will.
Yeah. That's
He's
totally
like, this
why.
Isn't about the team. It's about
no,
me.
Because, like,
they have 4 tuba players this year.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. They got, like, 4 tuba players.
No, they really don't. They have 2. I know for a fact they have 2.
Guys, we'll talk about this later. Because I don't really know what's going on in this conversation.
Sam,
so.
You stopped paying attention, like, 20 minutes ago and then jump back in. Sorry. Whatever. What was I going to say? Something about hockey. Yeah, they're just very, like, you never know what's going to happen with them.
What's the Met looking like? Isn't that what the Penguins and the Flyers are in right now?
Oh, the Metropolitan. Penguins are in the second wild card spot, I think.
How many games left in the hockey season are there?
They have at least a month because they go into April.
Is it going to look like a exciting finish?
I don't know. I think whoever gets the second wild card spot is going to get destroyed by the Lightning, because Lightning are the best team in hockey. Unless they played when Sam and I were in Tampa, we saw them play the Wild and they got shut out by Minnesota in arguably their worst game of the season. Which we were like, of course, when we're here, that's what's going to happen.
Oh man, we got Capitals today at home,
and the Capitals have been playing very well recently.
Yeah.
I think they're in second right now because I think the Islanders are still in first. I don't know.
No, the Capitals are in first now.
Now? Okay.
But the thing is, the Pens are only 6 points behind the Capitals.
Yeah, and the Met is very – there's a lot of parity in the Met. Every year it seems to be like that. But, I mean, I still I think the second wild card team just doesn't really have a chance. I don't
– The first team has been eliminated from playoff contention. The Ottawa Senators.
Oh boy! Hey, the Flyers beat them, so that means they beat them to eliminate them.
Why does it feel like the Ottawa Senators are either really good or really bad?
Hey, the Pens.
Yeah,
are
I do agree. Like that's a very common thing. I feel like every year it's a toss up. They're either amazing and like in second or first place, or they're the worst team in hockey, and there's no in between.
The Pens are only 27 points behind the Lightning. It's gonna be fine.
They're not gonna pass the Lightning. I'm going to tell you that right now. Lightning are very, 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 very good.
Except for when we watch them play.
Exactly. It was so – we were very – I mean, I was sunburnt and bitter, so I was in pain and angry. And then they started a Let's Go Wild chant in the Tampa Bay building, which I was like, ooh, as much as I hate the Penguins, like, that would never happen there in Philly. Like, that's not something you do.
They got – they're at 69 games right now. They play like 82, right?
Yeah, they play 82. So they have, what, 12, 13?
13
yeah.
games. The Pens are, well, essentially tied with the Hurricanes for the last spot in the Met. Flyers are only 3 points out.
Yeah, it's close.
I think the Flyers, if they get in, will shock teams because they've been so good down the stretch. Like, because of how bad they played for the first part of the season,
Ron Hextall and Dave Hextall.
I mean, it's crazy because, like, they had this stretch come. They basically, like, 2019 game, and the Flyers were like, whoa. Hey, guys, let's figure this out. They call
Sports
up Carter Hart.
Started again.
Carter Hart helps them go 13-3-1 on an incredible stretch in which he, during a, like, oh, it was an eight-game winning streak.
Yeah.
And he won all eight games.
No, he won seven of the
eight.
He won eight in a row, but it was after they lost because they put Neuwirth in the middle and he won one, and then he put him in at the end and he lost one.
Also the East is so much better than the West this year.
Yes.
I mean, it's not even fair.
No, and I feel like that's how hockey goes. Like, you'll see the West kind of change up its style and get really good for a few years, and then the East adapts and gets better. And then the same thing happens because that's what caused kind of the speed revolution, was that the East was playing very hard hitting, even into like the late 2000s, early 2010s. They were playing slower, hard hitting, grind goals type hockey. And the West was like, well, we're never going to beat them like that because we're smaller. So we're going to use our speed and just go around them. And then that is kind of what caused the game to speed up and there to be less hits, less fighting, which is honestly good for the players because, you know, now they're not, you know, developing CTE and other brain issues, but like it does make it a little less fun to watch, you know, when you don't get, you know, somebody getting laid out every game or a fight every game. So but that's what happens and that's what hockey is. So the East has adapted to the West speed at this point and is really gunning for him. Yeah. So I don't know. Do you guys think the Lightning will win the Stanley Cup this year?
No. No.
If they have any games like the one that we saw against the Wild, like
they
that.
Just, they never do it. That's my biggest thing. Mm-hmm. They don't.
And the President's Trophy winner is notorious for not making the finals.
Yeah. It's just like Tampa Bay is just always a team that like gets to the Eastern Conference Finals and then loses. And the thing that struggles is hockey is such a game of parity.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, like, it's crazy, man. I mean, they've lost 13 games all year long.
All year.
That's insane. 110 points.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
they had 100 points in February. Like, I know. It was the last week of February they got their 100th point.
And, like, the next closest team is what? Is it the Bruins? Yeah. With 93?
It might be the Caps.
No, it's the Bruins at 93.
Oh, it is the Bruins. What do the Caps have?
89.
Oh.
Their Caps are riding a 7-game win streak.
Though. Yeah, they are. Because the Islanders were in the lead for a long time, which I don't think anybody saw coming.
No.
Is John Tavares still playing?
He's in Toronto.
He's in Toronto. He's public enemy number one on Long Island.
Yeah, people in Long Island are offended that you asked that.
They threw when they snuck into the building during their like team skate before the game. And while they were doing their warm-ups once people were allowed in, and threw plastic snakes on the ice.
It was incredible. Because he's a snake. Because
he's
get
a
it?
Snake. Because he was like, yeah, I love the Islanders, but I've always wanted to play for the Maple Leafs. Or not the Maple. Yeah. Yeah, the Maple Leafs. So I'm going to go play with them.
And they were all like, wow, thank you for loyalty.
Yeah. So now they all hate him.
Which, like, I don't know. Like, that'd be like, honestly, like, if I, like, you know, played baseball and I, like, played for, you know, I don't know,
Arizona,
and all of a sudden the Red Sox were like, Sam, we want you to come play for us. I'd be like,
see ya.
Yeah, I'd be like, wow, I really always wanted to be a Red Sox. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I get it, but yeah, I also get why they're bitter.
Right, I see both sides.
Did you ever see that, by the way, speaking of like not knowing how to feel about things, did you see that Antonio Brown video with the, you know how like everyone's been doing this stuff now where they like go to light it on fire and then they have the note? So this guy goes to light his Antonio Brown jersey on fire, and he starts to light it, and then he throws it out with a snowball, and he goes, I'm sorry. And then it's like, it like keeps piling notes, and it's like, I love you, but also I hate you. And why did it have to be like this?
I
don't know how to feel.
I feel like you could make a one-hit wonder love song with that type of
gosh. I'm glad he's gone. I don't know about you. I'm just glad.
Yeah, the Steelers just need to get rid of the ick around them and just start afresh.
I just read an article that also was a very good point, because you know everyone's kind of like pointing fingers at like anyone. Like everyone's like, it's Roethlisberger. And then everyone's like, no, it's not Roethlisberger. It's Brown and Bell. A Yahoo Sports put out an article that was like, now that everyone's gone, like it's Ben Roethlisberger's time to, mm-hmm. either nut up or shut up effectively.
Yeah. I saw something where it was one of those things where people were saying like, oh, Ben is the bad point in the locker room. And somebody commented and was like, well, like he's had his problems. Brown's had his problems and Bell's had his problems. But Ben was the only one that could effectively keep it off the field and out of the locker room.
That's the thing I like is, you know what? Do I think, you know, Ben's probably not the most likable guy in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think he comes in every day and it's like, let's go do this. Mm-hmm. Like I'm here to win. Like, let's make this happen.
Yeah, kind of puts it in a drawer, save it for later. Once he's out of the stadium, that's when it comes back out again.
Exactly.
I'm really excited for this NFL draft because you have teams all across the board that this draft is going to define how they move forward in the future. I mean,
I know the Steelers won't get him, but I want Devin White so bad.
From LSU, yeah.
But he's his value skyrocketed.
I know. Right now. And that's, I mean, the Steelers, do they go – you know, do they go DK Metcalf?
I don't even know if he's going to get there.
If he's there.
They're saying the Bills are going to grab him now.
Do the Steelers go out and try to get a QB? Do they try to, do they play smart and get an inside linebacker? What do the Cardinals do with the number one pick? Are they going to send Josh Rosen to the Patriots? You know, what's going to happen with everything? And there are a lot of teams like that. The Eagles kind of.
Yeah, my guess is they'll draft a defensive tackle.
Well, because they lost they just lost someone to the Jaguars.
Nick Foles.
No, defensive tackle.
I don't know.
Like just recently.
They traded Michael Bennett to the Patriots, if that's who you're thinking of. But that was because he wanted a pay raise, not a pay cut.
I appreciate the fact they were like, nah, see ya.
Yeah. As soon as he said that, everyone was like, and he's going to get traded. And then that day, he got traded.
All
right. I'm really excited for it. Can I tell
you something just between we went over an hour today.
Good work, guys.
We did
I put
it.
On some marshmallow. Set a mood. All right, any last thoughts? All right, Robert Morris, women's basketball. Are they winning the conference championship?
Yes.
Sam Ferentz? Do they play UConn?
Let's get past Mount St. Mary's first.
Right. We'll I say yes, and time. They're going to play UConn. I'm sorry. Yeah, we're going to Stores, Connecticut.
We can.
Let's go. Go Colonials.
All right, catch us Thursday.
Bye, everyone.